Merrily we roll along, roll along, bursting with dreams.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Stephen Sondheim was one of musical theater's greatest composers and songwriters. He created the music and/or lyrics for some of Broadway's biggest productions: West Side Story, Sweeney Todd, Into the Woods, and a whole lot more, including Merrily We Roll Along. That's the title song there. Our next guest became one of Sondheim's most devoted fans, and while working as a journalist in Milwaukee, started his own magazine dedicated to covering Sondheim's productions, past and present. In the process, he got to know the composer, and that connection is the subject of his new book. Paul Salcini is an author and journalist. He was a reporter and editor with the Milwaukee Journal for 37 years and Wisconsin correspondent for the New York Times. In 1994, he founded the Sondheim Review, which he edited for 10 years. His new book is called Sondheim and Me, Revealing a Musical Genius. Paul, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
When did you first become aware of Stephen Sondheim and, as you say, start recognizing his musical genius?
Okay. Well, I was always interested in musical theater, but I got turned on to Sondheim when I went to New York in 1972 on a business trip, and I stumbled into a show called Follies. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know who composed it, but I was just blown away. It was so beautiful. The score was so wonderful, and the story had so many layers. And it was, in fact, the story of our human follies. And I could go on and on about that. But anyway, I learned that the composer for this show was Stephen Sondheim. So I came home and I started researching Stephen Sondheim with a vengeance and looked up everything I could about him, started collecting material about him, and eventually started to write notes to him and get more information. At that point, I was thinking vaguely about writing a book about him, but that did not turn out.
And one thing I love, and this is a huge part of your book, you wrote notes to him, and he wrote back a little bit at first, and as you started to do more, he started to write more at length. You evolved into this very long-term correspondence with Stephen Sondheim.
Yeah, he's known for writing notes, but the notes that he wrote to me were often accompanied by gifts. He sent me, for example, a cassette tape of a show that was never produced. It was called Saturday Night. And he sent me the Backers audition tape of that show, which was very, very rare. He sent me sheet music for two college productions that he had written. And I sent him a few things. So we established a good relationship during the 1980s.
A lot of people might have stopped there. You went further and put together the quarterly Sondheim Review. What were you hoping to do with this four-time-a-year review?
Well, as I said, I was thinking about writing a book, but that was not possible. And so I decided that I would write, I would found and edit a magazine called the Sondheim Review. It was not going to be a fan magazine. It was not going to be a scholarly magazine. It was going to be a journalistic magazine because, after all, I was a journalist. So it would include news and reviews and interviews and essays and everything that people who are interested in Sondheim's works would be interested in reading. It would not be about him. It was always about Sondheim's works. And so I established a staff somehow. I can't believe I had that chutzpah to do this. I would not be able to do it now. I know that. But I've somehow found editors and writers and a designer and a businessman and a printer, and we just did it. It was like Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney. Let's put on a show, and so we did. And it was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun and very gratifying.
And what is Stephen Sondheim's response to? You're pretty far off Broadway in Milwaukee there, and you're putting this together, this journal on his work. What did he think about that initially?
I know. I wondered what he thought about it. I think he thought, well, he didn't really know what it was going to be about until it actually came out. And our relationship changed, because before that, it was, you know, he was sort of a nice guy who was writing me and this guy in Milwaukee on information about his shows. But now I was the editor of a magazine devoted to his works, and he learned to respect the magazine very, very much. And that's why he sent me notes that would correct some things that were in the magazine, most of them really minor. But he said that he wanted the magazine to be a source for scholars. So he obviously did respect the magazine as a source, and that he wanted everything in the magazine to be accurate and correct, just as he wanted everything in his works to be accurate and correct.
Talking to Paul Solsini, longtime Milwaukee journalist, looking at his latest book. It's called Sondheim and Me, Revealing a Musical Genius, about the work and career of Stephen Sondheim and Paul's relationship with him over the years. One thing, you've got so much visual in the book. Editions of your Sondheim review, pictures of cast members, Sondheim himself at interviews. Can you talk about, curating and putting together this collection of images?
Putting together the insert collection, yes, that was a great amount of work. In fact, that is an interesting story. When I was writing the book, I said to the publisher, wouldn't it be nice to have maybe 10 or 12 pages in the middle of the book of photos? And he said, no, we're going to have 64 pages.
Oh, wow.
And so he said, you know, and I was just blown away. And so he set his designer to work. And I provided the material. All of that material is from the issues of the Sondheim Review that I edited. And she did a terrific job of selecting them, the material. There's photos, there's photo productions. I'm especially pleased that we had handwritten lyrics by him. There's covers of the magazine and other covers. So it's I call it a Sondheim scrapbook. And I think it's a very enticing thing. And the other thing that the publisher surprised me with was the chronology of Sondheim's life from his beginning to his death. And I hadn't known about that either until I saw proofs. So that was that. I think that will be very important for people who want to know about Sondheim and all of the details of his life, because it's very, I think there's 23 pages of the chronology. And I'm very proud of that as well.
Now, something that struck me as interesting, not everybody's going to make it to a Sondheim show on Broadway in New York. Probably the thing people would be most familiar with is the West Side Story movie musical, the original one. Reading your book, one non-fan was Stephen Sondheim. He didn't always like the way his plays, his musicals were converted into movies.
Yeah, he didn't like the movie, the original movie of West Side Story. He did like the new one a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. the Steven Spielberg one. And he was a little embarrassed by some of the lyrics that he wrote for West Side Story. but he actually only wrote the lyrics for West Side Story. Right. Leonard Bernstein, of course, wrote the music. And it is probably his most famous work, though it's not. Not the typical, I don't think, of all of his work.
Paul, can you suggest, if people are going to make a trip somewhere to see a big musical, or one comes to Wisconsin, hopefully, what are a couple of the shows that you say, yes, make that trip, spend the extra money and see this show?
Well, I think Into the Woods is a sort of a good introduction to Sondheim, because it's an easy story about what happens when people go into the woods and they don't always find what they are looking for. In fact, some bad things happen. The second act is kind of dark. Sometimes people don't recognize that, but it is a show with some wonderful, wonderful songs, of course. That's a show that's sort of an introduction, I think, to Sondheim's work. I think Little Night Music can also be a great introduction, because it's a story of an actress who thinks that her former lover will come back and be with her. And of course he does not, because he's married. But the score then is interesting because it's entirely in waltzes, and it's a very, very romantic musical. And even though it has some sad moments in it, I think those two would be great introductions to Sondheim's work.
One thing I found really interesting as a musician, Paul, is in your correspondence and your reporting on Sondheim's work, is how much from the initial concept and the initial songwriting through the final product, how much songs, themes, plots could change from beginning to what we end up seeing when we pay to see the show.
I think one of the most interesting things in the book is that during this whole decade that I was editor, 1994 to 2004, Sondheim was writing a show which was originally called Wise Guys, and then it was called Gold, and then it was called Bounce, and it ended up being called Roadshow. And it changed dramatically over the 10 years. And what was interesting to me was that when we got on the phone and he talked about the changes, he would get so excited about everything that was happening in the course of the writing and of the show and the changes that were being made by him and by John Weidman, who was writing the book. But I would listen to him and just keep smiling, because he would be so excited about what was going on. And it reminded me, you know, the show Sunday in the Park with George is the story of the creation. The first act is the creation of Sunday Afternoon on the Isle of Grand Jatte by Sirode. And that story is more about the painter of that painting and George. And Sondheim, when he was talking about this musical he was writing, reminded me so much of George, because one song that George sings, which is sort of autobiographical, I would think, is called Finishing the Hat. It's the story of how a painter has to finish painting the hat that he's doing for this massive painting. And that's what Sondheim was doing. He had to finish. He was compelled to finish this show, even though the reviews for the show as it went along and its different iterations were not that great. He was committed to do this because he was committed to the story and the score and the audiences. He was concerned that they would be pleased with what he was creating.
And Stephen Sondheim passed away a year ago Saturday, I believe it was. Do you see releasing this book as your part of a tribute to his life and his work?
Yeah, I do. When he died, I went through the notes that he had sent me, the letters, and I went through all of the issues of the magazine that I had edited. I hadn't looked at all my Sondheim material for so long, because I had taken a different path. I was writing fiction for many years. It's always set in Tuscany, the land of my roots. And so when I went back to the Sondheim material, I realized that there was so much there that was so interesting and revealing about Sondheim that I thought readers would be interested in reading it. So that's when I started writing the book, and it didn't take that long to write, because I guess I'm a journalist, so one writes fast. I was really pleased with how it came out.
Paul, thanks so much for sharing this with us today.
Thank you for asking me.
That's Paul Salcini, author, journalist, founder of the Sondheim Review, covering the works of musical theater composer, the legendary Stephen Sondheim. Paul was a longtime journalist in Milwaukee. He shared his latest book, Sondheim and Me, Revealing a Musical Genius.